Well, like I just said earlier, I mean, when Pastor was here, the more you have that kind of situation, the more chills or jeers that come into your way. I mean, at one point, I'm not a person. I have this stage fright still, regardless of how much I've been standing here and so forth. I just remember when my daughter, they have a commencement ball at when she was graduating at Mountain View Academy, and there was this service that was held at Mountain View Central Adventist, and said, "Dad, would you mind giving the tithes and offering?" And I was so courageous enough, I said, "I will do it." But as the time came in, time is approaching, I stood up, I ran up to the pulpit. My heart was beating so rapidly. I mean, I believe some of my friends, I mean, my brothers and sisters feel the same way also. But you know what? God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen? All right, good morning, those. We have many guests this morning. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Well, thank you for choosing San Jose Central as your worship hours. You know, family members, I think we are outnumbered with our guests, and I praise God for that. Amen? Our members are in Zoom. Many of them are in Zoom. So we would like to welcome them as well. And also those that are in YouTube, those of us that are sharing what's happening in our church, welcome as well. Before I proceed, I want you to do two favors for me. Raise your hand if you have cell phones. Raise your hands if you have cell phones. I want them to turn you off. I want them to be turned off. Not silence, turn them off. Why did I say that? Who are we worshiping today? God. Put our minds away. Our focus is only to who? Jesus Christ. Number two, listen. As you listen, think. Don't just listen and think what the word will be said. We've been, brothers and sisters, we've been receiving preaching messages after messages and messages. But if we don't listen and think, what will happen? The minute you walk out to that door, it's gone. We are living in the end times of this earth history. But if we only become churchgoer, Jesus said, "I don't know you. Away from me." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for life. We thank you, dear God, for the freedom to worship in this blessed country. As I share your word, grant us your spirit, dear God, that he will direct our attention in what we hear today. Bless each and everyone who is here today, and also those that are joining us in listening through technology. Let the truth be received gladly. In Jesus' name do I pray. And let all God's people say, amen and amen. Let me see if I know how to operate this. Sometimes it doesn't work. How many of you remember the last message that I have shared? Anyone? Anyone? Do you remember the last message that I shared with you? What was the title? I hate you. And this time, I think it's more positive when you read to it. An offer you cannot refuse. Have someone try to give you something that you can refuse? Let's turn our Bible. If you read through to your Bible, let's open it to John, the fifth chapter of John. And it reads, beginning with verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, and read on as on the screen says 1 to 4, but I believe there's going to be more reading in this chapter. It reads, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Verse 2, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Verse 3, in this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Continue on reading. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. That's a long time to be drunk. That's a long time to be strung out on drugs. That's a long time to be a criminal. That's a long time to be a thief. This man had a condition for 38 years. Whatever problem you have had it for 38 years. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? So it says here, he, Jesus, said unto him, what is our subject for today? So what is our subject? An offer, he said, you can't refuse. When Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he, Jesus, said unto him, do you want to be made well? Or a whole? Not just to improve. Whole, complete healing, a total transformation. He said, you are going this way, you will go this way, it says. But Christ does not force it in the man. He asks a question, do you want to be made well or a whole? I'm able to make you well. Do you want it? That's the question. And Jesus said, do you want to be made well? What is Jesus saying to you today? Regarding your practical problem, on my particular problem, do you want to stop smoking, says Christ? Do you want to stop cheating on your exams at school? Do you want to stop watching pornography? Do you want to stop watching too much television? Do you want to stop spending so much time on your cell phone, iPad, or computer? What is your problem? Do you want to be made well? It is a question from God to you because that man is dead, but Christ is still alive. Can you say amen to that? We serve a living God. Do you want to be made well? Are you tired of the life you have been living? Would you like a change in your circumstances? That's God making an offer that you can't refuse. Verse 7 reads, The sick man answered him, "Sir, have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." "Yes," he said, "there is reasons that we have when we have in that state." Notice the man says, "I have no man." I'm sure you find out in your life that when you are in trouble, you can rely on people. The very ones you think you can rely on, even a family members, abandon you when things go wrong. The man said, "I have no man." No wonder the Bible says, when we are in trouble, whom should we trust? Psalms 56 verse 3 said, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." He said, "I have no man when the water is stirred up to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another step down before me." Jesus makes an offer, "Do you want to be made well?" His answer should have been yes. Not offering explanation as to why he was in his condition. Don't we find that sometimes, brothers and sisters, in our trouble, in our circumstances, in the things that we do, we make excuses rather than what? Listen and think not offering an explanation as to why he was in his condition. Jesus says, "Do you want to be made well?" He should have said yes after he gives an excuse. Verse 8. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Didn't we hear that sometimes in our lesson study today? That's where Mark chapter 2. We learned that from our lesson. Rise, take up your bed and walk. After he gives an excuse, Jesus said, like what he said here in verse 8, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." The Bible says, and immediately the man that was made well and took up his bed and walked, and that day was a Sabbath. Verse 9. Now, if you look at verse 9 carefully, let's look at the verse carefully. The sequence is slightly out of order. It should have said, "He took up his bed, walked, and was made well." Why did I say that? When Jesus Christ said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," Jesus did not lift him up. The man had to respond to the words of Jesus Christ. He had to decide to obey the word of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, "38 years you have been in this condition. Now here is an opportunity to change. Do you want to be made well?" He said, "Yes, rise." There's something you must do when God works in your life. It is a cooperative work. God does his part. You and I do our part. Jesus said, "Rise." That man had to decide to obey the instruction of Christ. I say that again. Christ told him what to do. "Rise, take your bed and walk." So, the question is, do you want to stop drinking? Jesus says, "Do this, do that, do that." Do you want to stop being fired for laziness from one job to the next? Jesus said, "Do this, do this, do that." The key to a change of a person's life, the secret to a transformation in someone's condition, is to follow the guidelines of Christ. 38 years, I don't know, brothers and sisters, that you have the same years that you've been holding on to these addictions that you have. But Christ knew it. He said, 38 years that man had been in that condition, no human being could help him. And some of us We have had problems with which no human help can help. Jesus Christ is saying today, do you want to be made well? Are you having problems with your children? Do you want help? Just say yes. But say yes with all your heart. But say with all of your heart. Jesus Christ does not simply want to improve you. Christ decides to transform your life. Let me say that again. I'll say it differently. Christ wants to change your life so drastically that those who knew you will no longer recognize you. Amen to that. I want to say it again so that get more amen. Christ wants to change us so drastically that those who knew David yesterday no longer recognize me or you. Let me show you what I mean. Let's go to Matthew 12:22. It reads, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. To whom was that man brought to? I can hear you. I can only hear this side. How about this side? Whom was the man was brought to? Jesus. Are you guys sleeping with your eyes closed? Thank you for saying that. I meant to say that. Are you sleeping with your eyes open? Sometimes you cannot come to Christ. You have to be brought. Because your circumstances are so bad, you cannot bring yourself. When you have illness, does the hospital come to you or you go to the hospital? Or someone you call that number what? 911. And what will happen? The siren will come, a vehicle will stop in front of you, and they will bring you to the hospital. But God is so eager to save you, he arranged for someone to bring you, he says. So the Bible says, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. When was the last time God used you as an instrument to bring someone to Christ? For those of you that has invited friends to come and join us today, learning to receive that offer that you cannot refuse. I repeat again, verse 22. The Bible says, and he healed him in so much the blind and dumb both spake and so. Let's look at this word. Let's look at that word in so much. As we read the Bible microscopically, what do you understand by in so much? Give me another word for in so much. Another expression. And he healed him in so much to such an extent. This was no minute healing. This was a drastic healing to such an extent. The woman beat her little boy so badly till in so much that he died. The Bible says in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Excuse me. Let me bring you to excuse me. Let me bring to your attention what the word is saying. The man was blind and he was dumb. When Jesus healed him, what did he do? He spoke and he saw. Look at the two words, blind and dumb, spake and saw. What are they? They're opposites. They're opposites. Now, that's how Christ wants to work in your life and my life. Christ wants to intervene so dramatically that he changed your circumstances completely. That's that the blind see and the dumb speak, the deaf hears. Christ is not a God who just removes a pimple. You don't need Christ for do that. You go to the doctor, buy a little cream, put it on yourself. But for a transformation, only Christ can do that. What am I saying you today is that your life, however miserable you may classify it to be, Jesus Christ can change it around so that the blind can see and the dumb can speak. An offer you cannot refuse. But that blind and dumb man, he is dead. That man who had been sick for 38 years, he's dead. You are alive. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? What he did for that man who was sick 38 years, what he did for that man who was blind and dumb, Jesus Christ can and desire to do for you and me. Today, he makes an offer you don't want. He makes an offer, said, do you want to be made well? Do you want deliverance from your condition? Do you want a transformed life? Here is why many lives never change, even though God is all-powerful. Here is why many lives never change. Go with me to the book of Acts. Our subject for today is an offer you cannot refuse. This is a familiar story. The Bible says, reading in verse 36. It says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. The eunuch said, here is water. So what is the eunuch was thinking about, was trying to tell to Philip? He said, baptism, he said. Baptism is a lot of water. It's not just by sprinkling. He said, you need a lot of water for baptism. And he says, what hinders me from being baptized? Here is the water, he says, I desire baptism. What is between me and baptism? Baptism is a better life, a better grade school, a better home, a better health, a better relationship with your brother, your family. What lies between you and what you desire? What hinders you from enjoying what you desire? This Ethiopian eunuch said, see, here is water. You know, we walk around. We look at this world, what can offer us. I like that house. I like that marriage like that couple. I'd like well-behaved children like those children. And I like a church family like that family. I like this and I like that. So here it is. And the question to you is, what keeps you from having that? The desire you want, what keeps you from having it? listened to Philip. It says, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The reason why many of us never experience a change, we do not desire it. How? With all our heart. And God can only work with a heart that is 100% committed. That's why Jesus say in Mark chapter 12. Now, said, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is the first commandment. And God can only work again with a heart that is 100% committed. That's why Jesus says here in, I just read that verse, if you give and worship and give your heart 100% committed to Christ, he will answer you. That change will come. There's an example of that determined heart here. But look at this differently, all right? Genesis chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, read. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which Son of Man had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. What is this verse talking about? The Tower of Babel. They were committed with all their heart, it says. But what God is saying here, they are determined to build this tower. The only power in the universe that can stop them is who? God. Can I repeat something? Are you sleeping with your eyes open? Amen. How determined are you to change your life? When Jesus told that man 38 years in that condition, do you want to be made well? When Jesus said, rise, that man had to make up his mind, all of his mind. I will get up. It is in that the miracle occurred. When Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk, he had to respond in his mind. He had to believe then. He had to act in his belief. He made up his mind, all of his mind. As the writer said, he willed to walk. The walking began where? Where was the walking began? In his mind. Before it took place, where? In his feet. Let me repeat that walking. Let me repeat that. The walking began here before it took place here. Never forget what I'm about to say. Win the war first, then go and fight. Let me repeat. Win the war first, then go and fighting. Don't go and fight and hope in the middle of the fight you will win. You're already lost. Listen carefully. Faith is winning the war first where? Here in your mind. Then go and fight. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. He had to walk here in his mind before he walked on his feet. This formula of listen and thinking, or this formula works at all times. That's the only formula that works as God cooperates with man to change man's life. We must accept what Jesus says here in our mind before it expressed here in our walking. And so today, Jesus says, do you want to be made well? You must answer. Let me tell you very bluntly. I don't care what your problem is. Did I speak so harshly? I don't care. When God speaks, do what he says, and he will work a change in your life and my life. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. He may say to you, stand up, put down that bottle, and go. He may say to you, apologize to your neighbor for being harsh on him. He may say to you, stay off Facebook, social media, and off your iPhone and spend more time in reading your Bible. He may say to you, wake up early on Sabbath morning and go to church on time. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man rose in his mind and then rose on his feet. And Christ is offering the same thing. Listen, there is no problem the power of God cannot solve. Because the greatest problem in the universe is not alcoholism. It is not sexual immorality. It is not stealing. It is not lying. It is not committing crime. The greatest problem in the universe is what? Death. And God conquered death. If you have to solve an alcoholic problem, and you had a dead corpse to bring to life, which problem do you prepare to solve? I don't think you guys understood my speaking. I want to say it very slowly. If you have to solve an alcoholic problem, and you had a dead corpse to bring to life, which problem do you prepare to solve? The alcoholic. You prefer to solve that because you don't want to look like a fool trying to raise a dead man. You want to solve that is solvable. God alone can do that. Now, if God can do that, he can fix your problem. He can fix mine. It is not simply he can. He wants to. God is making an offer today. And if you do accept it, listen to what he says to you. Do you want to be made well? What is your answer? Who has a challenge that requires divine help? There is something with which you need God's help. 38 years and you have no man to put you in the pool. No one has been able to help. Jesus Christ says, today I can help and I want to help. I am making an offer you should not refuse. My brothers and sisters, do not turn you back on this offer. Let Jesus change your life. He can. Nothing is so hard for God. Yes, brothers and sisters, how many of you want healing today? Amen. Give it to Jesus. I want to pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, that the power that transformed lives 2,000 years ago, the power that raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind, loosed the tongue of the mute, opened the ears of the deaf, give agility to the lame, that power is today. Not just today, it is available now. Father in heaven, as Jesus made an offer, do you want to be made well? He, Jesus, is making that offer to us. Do you want your life to change? This is an offer from Jesus, who died to provide the power to live. So, Father, step into everyone's life. Seize the problem, Father, begin the work of transformation. Change that life, dear God, for your glory and for the blessing of that person. We thank you, thank you for the invitation, O God. Do you want to be made well? O God of heaven and earth, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his power. Thank you for his resurrected life and his cleansing blood. Change us, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Shall we stand for our closing song?
Oh.
Shall we bow our heads? Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for that glorious promise of eternal life, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that even though there are trials here on this earth, Father, that you can put joy in our heart, Lord, regardless of the circumstances or the situation that we're in, Lord. There is always a peace of happiness in our heart, Lord, knowing that you hold our future, Lord, and that you have promised great and mighty things. Dear Lord, please be with each one throughout the rest of the Sabbath, Lord. Help us to remember your day and to keep it holy. And thank you, Lord, for the blessing of each message that we receive today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I just want to remind real quick, if there's any observations about that organizing committee members, you could stay and talk to me in my office. For those that are in Zoom or YouTube, you could call me. So we'll give some time during this week. Also, I would like to ask David, Linda Miguel, Merle, and Sam not to leave to see me in my office. God bless you all, and have a wonderful and blessed week, and enjoy the rest of the Sabbath.
Once the fast and pray, we meet here. So we will pray. We will not pray right now. Thank you.